Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Thursday night, we are getting to get a better yet. We have a strong skinny team with three Bay Area products. 2 weeks of great sports in the snow. Welcome to the GOC on Jared Gray. Hope you enjoy the show. And I'm asking the Chinese government, where is Feng Shui? Can I get the answer? Is he yet to show up? So, the People's Republic of China, where is Feng Shui? Welcome to the GRC, COVID-19, 467-3149. I'm going to do a show. News of the week. The women's soccer team gets a new salary standard many years ago. Congratulations to the ladies of soccer for getting an increase in salary and new standards of the women's soccer team, which I believe they could be the men's soccer team in any day. Modifiers, Myers Taylor, attended positive for COVID, and she began to quarantine in Beijing. Brady clears the air and finally retires from the Tampa Bay Lightning after 20 years of football. On Monday, Steph Curry went off on the Houston Rockets. 40 points. And Monday, you don't poke a bear. The rookie of the Rockets poked the bear and stepped off a 20 points in the fourth quarter. The Golden State Warriors, with Klay Thompson returning, they're going to be a monster to get out. And if Draymond Green comes back before the playoffs, watch out. Steph passes Kobe Bryant for most 20 points in a quarter. The Dubs win 122-108. On Tuesday, Brady officially retires. Hey, is he the GOAT? Maybe. The USC football team just became a national champion contender as they get Oklahoma Sooner quarterback wins as he moves the portal from Oklahoma City to LA. In the country, this got hey, gentlemen. What Donald J. Trump has done has opened the door for fanatical weirdos on the left and on the right, both sides. This week, our HBCUs were threatened with violent threats Wednesday and National Signing Day at Jim Harbaugh travel to Minnesota to get the Minnesota Vikings job interview. The Washington Football Club changed their name to the Commanders with their new logo. Same covers, three jerseys. And then Snyder get away with this. Now we can sell the old Washington Football Club stuff. And then sell the Washington Football Club stuff for 2 years. And now with the new Commander's gear. That's three separate football gear he gets out. He's got to get over like a fat rat. Brian Flores filed a lawsuit against Miami, New York, and Denver for the NFL. He was told to lose games in Miami, which he refused to do. Only one black coach in the National Football League today. And he has never had a losing record. Mike Tomlin does it the way it's supposed to be done. There have been 116, 120 white coaches have been rehired. But only 10 rehire a black. And the white coach can have a losing record. That's okay. The Minnesota Vikings will hire LA Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, and it goes, and the beat goes on. The Rooney Rule has to change, and we're going to find out. Hugh Jackson will join the lawsuit of Flores. And we'll see how that goes. I need to have out of trouble. Because African Americans are not going to stand it anymore. This. As for me, I got Washington Super Bowl this year. It'll be the third Super Bowl one I will watch. The first Super Bowl was Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers in 77. And the Dallas Cowboys Denver Broncos series in 78. This will be the third Super Bowl I will be watching. The U.S. men's soccer team beat Honduras in the freezing cold of Minnesota 3-0 with temperatures 1 degrees. Why you do that? Why were we playing outside? It 1 degree. Another senseless attack in the Bay Area fan in L.A. The man is in a coma, and this is the second time this has happened. Last time it was the L.A. Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants down in L.A. This has got to be done about this. You have room for your team. Cheer your team in the winter games of Big G is opening on Thursday night. Muslim Chinese open the game with a cauldron. And this is another political stunt by the Chinese. As they've been harassing the Muslim population of the China, in the Eastern China. Football, the Washington Football Club, was the owner was to stop the NFL probe releasing information. Well, guess what? It's a free country. We get to read anyone. Also, the scandal in Las Vegas with the Washington Football Club. This is getting ugly by the minute. Sexual harassment by the Washington Football Club gets deeper and deeper. On Friday, the Jacksonville Jaguars hired Doug Peterson, and now we're down to three teams without a head coach. My fellow Americans, it is time for a national boycott. The New York Football Giants are saying that we didn't do anything wrong. The Cleveland Browns are pointing the fingers at you guys who were losing. And guess what? It's All-Star Weekend in Las Vegas. The Hockey All-Star Game is tonight, and the NFL Pro Bowl is tomorrow. So, quietly, the All-Star games we played, quietly, they will go on. We'll take a break and come back in a minute.
Thank you.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One of the greatest Philadelphia groups in our lifetime. Did not blow your mind. NFL playoffs, the Cincinnati Bengals will play Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 56. I can't believe it, 56 years ago, the first one. Man, time does not. It's about the future of the quarterback. Young gun, Mr. Burrows, against old, though, Matthew Stafford. And you know what Michael said about Matthew Stafford. The Rams shut down the 49ers running game early, and they beat them at their own game. They ran the ball down the Niners' throats and beat them at their own game. Well, the Bengals beat Kansas City, and the Bengals changed their defense they have, and Kansas City did not adjust. Bengals just outcomes the Chiefs with their quarter interception for the Niners. Was their game in a 50-yard penalty on top of that? OBJ. Rams and Bengals. Who would have thought? I didn't. Riders hired McDaniels as head coach and new GM Ziegler. The New England Patriots. And now the hiring of Menardi's 0-8, 0-9 going into Super Bowl week. NCAA, the Kentucky Wildcats moved away the dead guns. Moving number 5, and they beat down Kansas last week. UCLA also moves into the top 5 as February comes up. Bruce Burrow gets a new contract at Auburn, and as he should, because he's been to Auburn Tigers on the front page news. As Auburn number 1, Gonzaga number 2, UCLA number 3, Baylor number 4, Kentucky number 5, rounding out top 5, D1. Women, Don Stanley continues to ride their club. As that guy number 1, Denver Carlos, Danny, I don't think anybody in the West Coast is going to beat Denver, so this should be 1-2 the rest of the year. North Carolina State, number 3, and Louisville Carter, number 4, in the Women's Division. MEAC, the Ladies Spartans of Norfolk, in command of their conference with 60-40 win over the Bulldogs. Guy State. The Spartan men are also rolling with a 5-game win streak, and they also beat the Bulldogs 87-59. Missouri Valley, 5 o'clock today, 5 o'clock Pacific time. The Suzuki take on the Redbirds of Illinois State. The Lady Suzuki's take the Lady Bears play at home. An home series in Carbondale and Missouri State. On the men's side, it's a 4-way battle for the top at the Missouri Valley. The Ramblers of Chicago, the Drake Bulldogs of Missouri. Then he dragged OCR Bible School this weekend. On the men's side, it's a free brawl. At Southern Florida A&M, running an outdoor stadium, all at the top. Southern OCR Bible School this weekend. Grambling also hosts the Alabama School this weekend. The Rattlers host in the Southern. And Prairie View are Alcorn State Braves. Travel to Arkansas 5-5 and Mississippi Valley State this weekend. By 12. Lady Call on Wednesday. At Stanford, defeat the Arizona Wildcats. This weekend, they travel to the LA schools, UCLA, and USC. The male LA schools play the Arizona school this weekend. And that should be interesting. I will see you go out this weekend. We will have a clear picture of who will lead the Pac-12 men. The Pac-12 ladies, I think, already decided. With Stanford running away with the conference. As they travel to the LA schools this weekend. Take a break, come back.
You said that you love me.
Mighty Dolphins. I remember when I was a kid. I was eighth grade. I mean, we go out to front porch with that little mini radio box. Put that record on and start singing in the middle of the street. That's what we used to do. And we did this from 6 o'clock and a half, 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Because Joe Gray was like, all right, time to go in. That was it. Back in the day. Mighty Delphine. We got Michael in the house. What's up, bro?
What's up, brother? Just taking in your words. You know, begging is hard to do. And even when you're a young...
Yes, sir.
And when you're a little young pup, you have to think about it. So you get to practice. You know, yes. Begging's like anything else. Practice makes perfect. And when you know how to beg, right?
Yes.
You'd be all right all night.
I can remember taking my records outside on the front stoop and just playing them for hours.
But you know what?
You had a record box.
You had the box, or you had the portable record player that the arm would extend, and it'd be big enough for you to play a record, even an album. But you know, you didn't have albums. You didn't carry albums like that.
I didn't buy albums until I got to 12th grade.
Exactly. So you carry 45. So you had your little box, and you could stack, and you were good to go. But you're right. That was the whole act of the music. That was like a cultural blanket that was being laid upon neighborhoods across the country. Yeah, you had the stoops. Brothers and sisters sat on the stoops. You had the houses. Parents really didn't care. That's right. Parents didn't care because you were nearby or you were in the house, and as long as you were in the house, that's all they cared about. So all these things was to allow our comfort zone to build even more, that we felt protected, that we felt loved, so that when you had that crush on that babe or whatever it was, you know, you felt good expressing these feelings. And that's a big difference between not being able to say how you feel, obviously, and, you know, thinking about somebody thinking, yeah, what would it be like if I could finally get my hands on it?
When you're a certain dog, does it take you back to a certain person?
It most definitely does. For me, anyway, I can say that.
Yeah.
There were certain people I know when I hear a certain song, I'm like, damn, what's she doing now?
Yeah,
or what it was when I was with her then, or will I ever get up the nerve to speak to her, or whatever the heck was going on. But there's definitely stuff that connects, and that's only because our music allowed it to.
I was the only one that did that.
That's right. No, listen, as long as we had the knowledge that we were being paid attention to, there was always hope. And that's why them brothers got on the line and said, please play the Delphines for me and dedicate this to Debbie or Diane or Shonda or whoever the hell it was. We knew. Just send the word out. Yeah, baby, I'm interested in you. And if you got a nice response, or somebody called you on the phone and said, yeah, I heard this, blah, 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 that actually happened twice to me. So I know it works. And they know it works. So that's why I said, beg is hard to do. Get a little bit of bed.
Yes, sir.
Say, because when you get past the begging stage, then it's time to drop them drawers, damn it. And you got to get the,
you gotta
get the bacon first. So yes, I'm all for first steps.
This week, three more NFL coaches fired. Zero African Americans, Latin Americans, Middle Eastern, whatever have you, zero.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Flores said, okay, I had enough. I'm suing you. It's a civil rights suit against the National Football League.
Right.
The CEO has, of course, protected itself and started going back at Flores. Which we all knew was coming.
Right.
But it's interesting that you, Jackson, I wonder about you, Jackson. Because you guys' record at Cleveland, I always wonder about after Florida they came out.
Yeah, he took a beating on that.
Is going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, he took a beating on that.
So, I don't know about you, but I believe you, Jackson.
We have no reason not to believe Hugh Jackson. Remember, when Hugh Jackson was coaching, and they went through that 1-31 or whatever, he was actually getting dissed. He was actually getting dissed by the other asshole, Baker Mayfield. You know, Baker Mayfield was dissing him, and I'm like, "Stay, coach, what you doing? I don't care if his record is 0-1 forever." You know. And they allowed this. They allowed this because they wanted to make a loss leader out of the Cleveland Browns. Now, when I say that, that's like being the NFL equivalent of the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs made money by losing games. They were promoted as lovable losers. You know, they were promoted as, oh, wait till next year and all this other stuff. And, you know, that did not deviate from the fact that they were still losing. But the room was full. You know, you had X thousand people and stupid outdoor seats that they sell in people's homes near the stadium. But the bottom line was their product was marketable in spite of the fact that they were losing every damn game. Yeah, they were awful.
And what gets me is the NFL, the National Football League. And I said this a thousand times. African Americans, it is time to boycott the National Football League.
Well,
the more I see it, the more I see it needs to be done.
You said it, and our colleague Cheryl, bless her bones, she also said it. You know, you can't fuck around with the fact that the league is 70% black and there's only one black head coach.
And that's a complete disgrace. That's a complete disgrace.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for this. I mean, you have all these coordinators. You can't find. Get out of here.
They know that. And Gary, I keep telling you, you know, no matter what they say, you cannot strong arm anybody into hiring a black coach, no matter how qualified they are. And they know this. They know this. This is, see, we believe in best man plays. You and I both, Tony, all of us. Best man plays. We don't give a fuck about that stuff. If you're good enough to start, you play. You know, it's similar culturally with music. Why do people love Tia Marie? Why do people love the average white band? You know, exactly. She's part of it. We love her because she gives a gift to us. And she gives it to us willingly because
Yes.
She didn't give a fuck that she was a white act.
No. Nope.
She played.
She had no problem. She had no problem with that.
She had no problem with it. Exactly. And neither does the average white band, or neither does any other white band that has status and can play. You play, you play. You just jump on it and jam. But, unfortunately, in the corporate world and National Football League, that's not applicable. You know, and that's why the problem has turned into what it has. Jackson was getting paid to lose games. Wasn't the surprise. The surprise was what? The surprise was they actually announced it. You know, Flores, think about what Flores is thinking. Okay, his team is 1-7. And he's going into next Sunday's game thinking whatever he's thinking. And now he's 2-7, 3-7, 4-7, 5-7, 6-7, 7-7. Is anyone patting him on the back? Is anyone saying, way to go, Brian? Is anyone saying, you know, we got an outside shot at the playoffs, Brian? You know, are the fans rising up? Are the people writing about the team? Are they saying, you know, we may have found the coach now? Are they saying they're enthused by the possibilities of Flores going into his third year? You know, anything that would give you any indication that the team has found its direction and we're ready to roll. Nothing.
They got fired. What are you doing?
Exactly. Clearly, he has
After the Kaepernick stuff, I looked at the NFL with Kaka and I go, I'm watching you now. After the Kaepernick thing.
That's
I'm
right.
Watching you because if you attack Colin Kaepernick for peaceful protests, for peaceful issues, I know what's going next.
That's also the sidebar, the fact that, okay, so your employers, and so the rank and file is 70% black. So you say, how could there possibly be any kind of racial problems if the league is 70% black? Yeah, we can say that shit. We can say that shit because there are problems. You know, if the Kansas City Chiefs didn't invest in Patrick Mahomes the way they did, there would be a problem. If the Baltimore Ravens did not do the same with Lamar Jackson, there would be a problem. Because you're talking about people who are clearly good, the best at their position, and next, all of a sudden now, they're screwed. Nobody knows nothing. See, we have to ignore all that and look at the obvious. And the obvious is Cleveland's owner is an asshole for doing what he did and allowing this atmosphere to fester. If he paid Jackson $100,000 to lose each game, then Jackson made a personal profit of what, $310,000 because he lost 31 games. Now, that wouldn't be conducive towards anything positive that would smack of a possible work environment issue. But the work environment issue happened because the Cleveland management decided this is what they wanted. If they told him to lose each game and he can pick up a foul, that's exactly what they wanted. Why would he make up something like that? You know, that's bull. You know, they know doggone well what they were doing. And Hugh Jackson will never get a serious job in pro sport as a coach. They know that.
And speaking of rehiring, only in the history of the 1989, only 10 black coaches have been rehired.
Yep.
Over 100 white coaches have been rehired
Mm-hmm.
All right. So half of these guys have losing records. Now, I want people to think about this. Yeah, Michael Singletary, Tony Dungy, Gary Smith, and Anthony Lynn.
Yeah.
What do these former have in common?
I'll
tell you.
They shop at Walmart.
I'll tell you. All four guys were put in place of raggedy butt-kicking, no playing teams.
Yeah.
Michael Singletary came in and said, look, I don't know what you guys are doing, but we ain't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And when Michael Singletary left the San Francisco 49ers, they became a playoff team.
That's true.
And Tony Dungy came, the Indianapolis Colts was a raggedy taggedy team.
Yep, that's true.
So where'd they go? Super Bowl.
Yes, they did, and won.
Love is missed. Back into the place, Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Super Bowl.
And they made the Super Bowl again.
For years and years and years, when the San Diego Chargers were raggedy as hell.
Yep.
Playoffs.
Yep.
So don't tell me that black coaches can't coach.
But see, I think you're slightly off. It's not saying don't tell me they can't coach. It is don't tell me we want them to coach. That's what the real issue is. They could have had them coach a long time ago. They chose not to do this. They wouldn't have understood that, you know, we don't care how talented Gary Norris Gray is. We don't care about his defense. You know, we might hire him as a coordinator, but we don't want his ass at the podium after the Raiders lose a game. We don't even want him there at the podium after the Raiders win a game. You know, we just don't want the fact. We don't like the fact that we have to entrust him with our team, because that's really what it's about. Now, once they've done this, they made it clear. We have no agenda other than to make sure that this thing stays status quo. That's right. If they do this, all they're going to do is make sure that whoever this next hire is, whether it's Bieniemy, whether it's Flores, whether it's Bowles, they're going to be in a stew of politics. That they'll have to spend extra brain time trying to cope as they're trying to help their team win. So it's going to be a pressure cooker. They're going to be involved in this 16 to 20 hours a damn day. They don't care.
I have an article that's going to come up this weekend.
Yep.
And I make it very clear, this has got to stop. This has got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I also make it clear, we have to. I'm sorry, we got a voice out. There are two things America, I keep saying this, there are two things that America pays attention to. As violence and money. You understand those two things?
Yeah, sure.
And things change. Either one other happens, things change quickly. Well, it's time to take the money away from the NFL.
That's not going to happen to you.
Home caravan, go caravan, sofa doors.
Well, see, Gary, the possibility and the price of that protest would be, all right, we know they work. We know boycotts work. We know they do damage. But is the time frame and how long it takes from Gary and Mike protesting against something to somebody knocking on Gary and Mike's door saying, all right, what you want? What you want?
Yes,
it's true. Yeah, the what you want is the big factor because that's the answer to the question. While we're boycotting, they're calculating, they're collating, they're deciding how many, how many or what, et cetera, et cetera. And then they make the call. All right, what you want, Gary? And see, that's not happening because right now the NFL is beyond popular. They are making buku money. They're making gugas of money, and they're making it over several different money streams. You can bet. As a matter of fact, even with this present problem, they can make money. Now, there was a time about a month ago on our shows that we mentioned that Brian Flores was a possibility of Coach of the Year. We all agreed on this. So now imagine this. We know in the land of prop bets, in the land of any kind of possibility, we can say anything, set a mark, and that mark can be hit. So let's just say for shits and giggles, as our brother Tony likes to say, let's just say that there's a prop bet that Brian Flores will get at least one vote to be Coach of the Year. And the odds are 10 to 1 that is possible. So I can put up $100 and say Brian Flores will get at least one vote. One vote.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to win. He just needs one vote to make the point.
Yeah.
And if he does, that's $1,000 in my pocket, G.
Yeah.
That's real tempting for anybody, even for somebody that doesn't bet. Because Brian Flores did the work. And if anybody's going to have to go.
This FanDuel, DraftKings, et cetera. Do you know, I haven't been reading about this. California is one of the only Western states that you cannot bet.
That's right.
You have to go across state lines.
That's right.
You can't bet in California.
Yep. So you go to Vegas.
Yeah, you go to Vegas. Or you go
to Reno. Yeah. Go to Lake Tahoe. You can clean up.
Yeah, I thought
get a number. California, for all the supposed openness there's a lot of California that's very, very, very conservative. That conservative has always mixed in with their idea of being liberal and open. We know that that's not true.
Yeah.
So, in bottom line of all of this, even in a state like California, though, they can still make money because it's too tempting. Gary can pick up the phone in California and say, give me the winner of today's game.
Yeah,
if you bet $5, you could win. If you bet $5, you can win $250. I mean, come on. For $5, I'd do that. You know? So we know there's a whole lot of big, dastardly action that's put in front of you because they want to make it appear that it's easy. And once you get in, you can't get out.
Michael, I believe that within two or three years, you are going to see people committing suicide over this stuff.
Yeah,
because the guy in Northern California, this year, this very year.
Yep.
Who bet his house? He bet his house on a Jimmy Gates.
You bet his house?
His house. His house, you know what I'm saying?
Holy fuck.
And he lost his house. I mean,
my God.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Exactly. But then that's back to that whole premise of betting with your head and not over it. If you got $100 in a tin can somewhere saved up, you think, yeah, I'll take a shot with that. Nobody would care, you know. But to be as reckless as put your house and your life in jeopardy by making a bet, we know there are people who are susceptible like that, and that's why the gambling aspect of this is so dangerous. And not just this. Think about what's coming down the pipe. Okay, 2 years from now, you guys get the Super Bowl in Vegas. All right.
Yep.
So
yep.
Look what's gonna happen. All right. We already know Vegas will set odds. We already know Vegas will have extra revenue streams in place. And anybody who's not a Raider fan will be betting in Vegas anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's more money available. But not necessarily a good thing, because whoever is betting may just as well be more of the kind of person that you talked about who's willing to bet their house literally,
yep,
instead of just bet $20 here and $20 there. That's
bull. I think this is a very dangerous thing that's going on.
It is.
Because I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old runners, we used to call them runners, they used to run with the football pool.
They would go from
door to door and get, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I remember this guy about a block away from me. He was about 18, 19 years old. He's a little older than me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He put a good guy on the money on the game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wait a minute. This kid 18 years old. Where did he get his money from, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, the week after the game was over, he lost. That dude disappeared. I ain't seen him since.
Yeah.
That was in 1970. I'll never forget that.
You know, there's temptations with gambling, but there's also profit with gambling. And the profit, the potential profit, is humongous. And that's why the NFL got away with this for as long as they did. They would talk out of both sides of their mouth, and now the gambling is legal, that nobody will say anything if I said, You know, Gary, I bet $1,000 on last night's game. And those SOBs, they came up short. It's just conversation now. It's just like the rest of the dialogue. It'd be like us just talking on the show. No big deal. Now, we know 50 years ago, people were blacklisted behind that. You know, 60 years ago, people got suspended because of that. Even in other sports, people's lives were destroyed because of that. And they don't care.
And now I hear TV announcers saying, well, we need 3 points to get it. I mean, what are you talking about? You need 3 points?
Are you crazy? Yep, that's right. They're not joking. They already know what they're looking for. The lead knows what they're looking for. The betting line knows what they're looking for. They don't have to talk. They don't have to be quiet about it anymore. The XFL showed us that in their broadcast. We saw the announcers openly say, you know, the over is 52. All they need to do is get out of here and hit this 40-yard field goal, and they've made their over. You know, I mean, that's easy. They've done that. They've said that. We saw proof of that. And now, even before we get to the Super Bowl, they're preparing for life after, because we know that the USFL is coming back. We don't know how format-wise they're going to do what they do, but they would like for the USFL to fill that niche for spring. And if they do, then after the draft is over, the USFL will be in business. By summertime, anybody who's got a shot to labor with another team will labor. The CFL will be back on its normal schedule, which means May, June, they'll be in camp, and the season will start near the end of June, before our Canada Day, which would be like our 4th of July. So there's going to be football going on all year long if they're consistent with this plan. And in that plan, all the coaches, all the players, two things will remain the same. Most of the coaches and players, most of the players will be black. Most of the coaches and administrators will be white. Yeah, pretty much they're not going to do this and that. Again, you are not. I don't care how smart Gary Gray is. I don't care how well he knows defenses.
Yep.
I don't like the way Gary looks. Yep. And it can be just as simple as that.
Yep.
And I can say, I don't want Gary running my team. I'm sorry. You know? And we can make all the positive arguments we could. The owner says, no, not great. So, that's it. And you don't need a fake lunch or a fake interview or a $20,000 handshake to prove otherwise. We saw men like Leslie Frazier and Todd Bowles get opportunities.
Yes.
But
yes.
They were hollow ones. They were hollow ones because they really had nothing to work with.
No.
Either offense sucked, or their personnel was overall just terrible.
Yes.
Bowles could coach in New York of all places, and not get a positive result because he had no team. Yeah,
Michael, you're telling me you had the New York Football Giants.
Yep.
The New York Football Giants in the same stadium.
Yeah.
Both teams stink.
At least they're consistent. Yeah. Both teams stink. Both teams, the difference between the Jets and the Giants is like night and day. The Giants are old money. I mean, they're traditionalists. Yeah. They put the C in conservative. So if anyone was coming to change the Giants white or black, they would have to fit that script. The Jets were different. I say this because I used to cover both teams, and so did Patrick Farrar. And whenever Patrick and I got to do a Jets game, it was like, hey, guys, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Go grab your breakfast and all that stuff, and no problem. Patrick and I were going to cover a Giants game. It'd be like, hey, what's up?
No.
What I mean is the Giants would say, you work for a paper, Mike? Yeah, okay, come on in. Patrick, you work for a paper? Yeah, come on in. Now, my friend Tack Makita, who was a photographer, they knew. It's like, okay, Tack, you coming in today? Hey, I'm a photographer. He'd be pushed downstairs to a separate section where there was a few sandwiches. They treat the photographers like shit. So in a Giants game, that's what would happen. In a Jets game, everybody was welcome on the media floor.
Yeah.
And they were both indicative of how they ran their franchises.
Wow. I wonder if the Raiders and Niners say, wait, because, going to a Raider game,
mm-hmm. You got to also remember, the difference between the Raiders and the Niners is the difference between the AFL and the NFL. Even to this day, because let's remember, we have the finalists for the Hall of Fame, and we also have the mindset that the league left us when Rizzo was given the commissioner's job. They didn't care about who was good enough. They just wanted to cock block the AFL players so that they didn't get going. So they were more entrusted with the fact that the NFL writers would hold things up and stop the AFL players from getting in. And to a great extent, it has really worsened. I mean, there are players from the AFL who are yet. I mean, L.C. Greenwood, professor talks about him all the time. You know, Otis Taylor, you know. These are guys who deserve to be in. There's no question about it. They've done the work. They earn the honors. They're ready to go. But yet, it's like the NFL is deliberately stopping them or deliberately making an issue of not talking about them. And because they do that, they fade in memory. And that is cool. That's got nothing to do. That's, you're either playing or you're not playing. They've played, they've done the work, and you're giving some horseshit about how they're very good, but they're not great. You have no damn clue as to how well they play. But yet you're coming
Michael,
in.
Washington Football Club, which I will be calling the Washington Football Club. I will not be calling them by their new name. I'm sorry. It would still be the Washington Football Club to me.
Okay.
The reason why I did this is the new name is the Commanders. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first heard that name, I said, oh, you guys be a military name. Here we go with the military stuff. I have nothing against the military, but the military is more steel business.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So your name, the Commanders, I don't like the name. I don't like the name at all.
Well, look.
So all the names they could have picked, they picked the Commanders. I know why they did it. Because Washington, D.C., the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief. That's why they did it.
What do you think? I don't like the Commander's name either. I think there's another name they could use, a couple, but now that they've used it, we have to take on the reality of it.
For years,
Washington teams have been looked at as the Generals. You know, we saw
that
in the USFL.
Yeah, basketball team, yeah.
We saw that in the USFL. We saw that with the Harlem Globetrotters. We saw that on several levels. You know, the Generals, the Federals, whatever you want to call them. But ultimately, Commanders, you know, I was waiting to hear Field Generals, actually, because I thought they were going to go that way. But Washington's idea of Commanders gives them a safe space. Nobody has to say, okay, well, it's got nothing to do with Native issues, got nothing to do with minority issues. It's got nothing to do with anything. It's got nothing to do about anything but making money. So let's make money.
Michael, think about this. This
idiot
is going to make money off of the old Washington Football stuff. Then he's going to make money off of the Washington Football Club stuff.
Yep.
And he's going to make money off of the club. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he generated 3 revenue streams. You know, you can't argue with it. If somebody is stupid enough to buy the product. You can't say that they're wrong. You know, unfortunately, if that person who bought Washington merchandise before and bought it now and buying new stuff after decides that it's worth it in his mind, they'll do it. And that's what they're banking on. Washington administration is saying, well, this isn't our idea. No, we don't care. You know, commanders, we just wanted to give you guys something neutral because we fought for so long to change our mindset.
But I got a cousin Virginia. He bought all three uniforms. He bought the Washington Harvard uniform.
Yep.
But he bought the Washington Football Club uniform. And now he's going back and goes, and he's going to be out of your mind.
That's what I mean. That's exactly it. It's like you set yourself up to feel stupid, at least as a collector or as a fan. You know, you already know what the time is. You've done this. And the only person you benefit is the team. You don't benefit yourself. I mean, it's like, come on. You benefit the team. If a jersey costs... $50.
And you know, I knocked down, dragged out, argued over the R word name.
Yeah.
And this is my cousin doing it. I look at him like, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
You know what that was about, Gene. You know what that was about. You spent years, and respect to you and all the other people who put in input and made sure that we can't have this. You got to change the nickname. Do all that. They did the work. They deserve the credit. God bless them. I hope all that good shit. But,
the reason why you're next is because you don't listen. We told you to not do the dumb old job. We told you don't do that, and we told you the reason why not to do it. And what I saw last week in Kansas City is stable. Because when the Kansas City Chiefs were winning, guess what? They were doing the job. I said, you guys, I'm to end it right now. We got Tony in the mix.
We got conspiracies in the mix because no matter what they do, we are still limited to the possibility of, some beneficent white man or some non-beneficent white man was going to hire somebody and make this all better. And this is bullshit. Bottom line is, they'll hire whomever they want. You cannot force them.
Yeah.
You cannot force them to hire somebody, no matter how good they are, like I said. But ultimately...
Hey, don't eat in the house. Don't eat in the house.
Yeah, let Mike finish. But even worse than that, no matter what they name this team in Washington, no matter how much swag you buy off of them, no matter how legal or illegal or good you'll feel because, well, at least it's not that other team. The same owner is making money off of every aspect of it. Old merchandise, present-day merchandise, future merchandise. You know, when I was balling in Germany, NFL International used to really keep track of how much money the teams brought in terms of swag.
Yeah.
Now, Washington, because they're neutral like that, and because the nickname was like that, was very low on the teams that made money. But they didn't care. Now, from this, Washington, just like St. Louis did when they built that stadium, they're going to jump up the line in significant numbers to a top 10 position, one because of the newness of the product, and two because of the newness of the situation. Once the bloom is off the rose, they will settle an area just like every other team does. It'll only be about how popular their team will be from winning and losing games. But right now, they got a lot of money in the kitty that they don't have to do anything to simply because it's a new team. I'm sorry, Tony.
Oh, no, please, no, don't, no. It's, I mean, we're just echoing what we've been saying. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to, you know, they'll make, you know, the novelty will probably wear off after about a year or so. Matter of fact, you'll probably see Redskin stuff sell even more so now because of the credibility of it. Now, I would not be surprised if within a year he decides to sell, because he'll make sure that he makes the money on the way out the door. And on top of that, of course, they're going to be worth even more now that they're under a new name.
Mm-hmm. As we speak on television, Brian Flores is being interviewed by Reverend Al on the space for the simulation thing. Now, you know the NFL doesn't like anybody putting their business out on Front Street. But we already knew it was going to be on Front Street because of the nature, was it? And you hit it dead on the head, Tony, when you talked about what Cleveland's ownership had done regarding Hugh Jackson and the fallout that came from it. This is more proof positive that this is not a selective process where the best guy gets it. This is not team stuff. This is ownership stuff. Ownership stuff, it doesn't work like that. Team stuff, best man plays. Ownership, I'm the owner, and fuck you for the rest of you guys. What I say goes. And this is a legit what I say goes thing. You can't make me hire you.
Right.
And look, I do hope that they just finally just scrap the Rooney Rule, because it's beyond window dressing and it's playing out even more so this year. I mean, I thought that, you know, maybe you would get a few hires with that, but I think now they're going to just be defined. I think they're almost going to not hire any black folks just out of spite now.
Well, I think we'll get one now.
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it now, because I think now.
I'm gonna tell you on this. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I only because knowing how spiteful these guys are, and got the predictable reactions from the three teams named, and Goodell put out some, you know.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, they come out today thinking that by the time, because you know, both teams are supposed to be in L.A. by tomorrow.
Yeah, Monday night, right?
But no, this is not gonna go away.
I believe they're gonna give the Houston Texans a black goat, because Houston is a complete disaster area. It's a disaster area.
Well,
they're gonna give it to a black guy, because
Well, I'll believe when I see it, because they keep talking Josh McCown. But see, again, all the hires are, you know, they're playing off just like how we're seeing it. It's just,
as
I said, the hardest thing that's going to prove is that what they've done behind the scenes, because there's no paper trail or what have you. And what's even worse here is that, like, you know, like Mike said, they don't owe you a job. They don't owe these guys a job, so they can get away with it. But the only thing that I could possibly see is that maybe if they try to do if they try to look at these states and do a right to life
right to work
thing, but apparently one of the things that he is using is something from the pre-1900s in regards to what the quote unquote emancipated slaves had to go through after slavery was abolished.
Yep.
I think, me personally, I would think that this Washington suit may have some overtones, because see, it speaks of the atmosphere, and because if we remember the whole Washington suit, if I remember correctly, is about setting a bad workplace example.
That's
and
right.
To me,
yes.
That's exactly what all of this is about, is setting a bad workplace example.
Yep. So you look at the other players in this, the fact that the union and their invisible man who's running this thing has put them in worse trouble, because they've taken more of what little power they had away. They have no voice in this, and all they're going to do is make it even worse for players, because things that players can get in terms of safety, in terms of compensation, in terms of just general usage, you know, their contracts will be more like used toilet paper. Well, so what if I'm in the union? If I got hurt and Tony's my shop steward because he's the player rep, tells me what I can and can't do, and I see it's almost nothing, what good is it? And there's nothing there that if I'm a rank and file member, and if tomorrow they said they're not paying attention to us, we're going to go on a wildcat strike, what good is it? I have nothing that me believe that my brothers will have my back, because we don't have anything in our contracts to begin with.
And that's why I look at the USFL thing. The owners are going to be even more nastier when the USFL is getting ready. Go ahead, come out.
We're going to the USFL players. Yeah, I'm Gary. I'm glad you brought that up. Tony, I have to ask, do you think that the USFL will take a harder line, or will they take a different line from what the NFL is taking?
I'm going to say they're going to take a different. I don't think they're going to take a hard. Well, they've already established a salary thing there. I think they're already making. I want to say it's like about $4,000 or $5,000 a play. I mean, they're not making.
Yeah.
You know, making bucks. But again, it's it depends on what they look at the end result is. Or do they look at this? You know, are they looking at this as wanting to form a merger with the NFL, or are they truly trying to be independent? That's always going to be the question for any of these offshoot leagues. Is this a backdoor to them trying to get? And see, let's be honest. The NFL really can't afford to add more teams. I mean, 32, to me, 32 is about as much. I mean, to me, that's about as, it's already an oversaturated product.
That's right.
As it is. But you try to add, say, two, or maybe like make it so that it, like, what is it, 32 teams? You say you're going to add, say, 8 more teams and make it like 40 or to make it whatever. I mean, it's a, at some point,
that's
it's
a
just,
lot.
It's over. Yeah, I mean, you basically have got four team divisions as
right.
it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't, you know, do you really want to basically add one more team to each division? And
mm-hmm.
the game on the field is already watered down to me. That's been my biggest, you know, we all know
yeah.
the off-the-field stuff. But to
mm-hmm.
me, the on-the-field game now is it has become so unwatchable for the most part. You know, if you know, there are good things in spurts, but for the long run, it's an unwatchable game. And see whether they now the only put it this way, the only good thing that expansion would do is that it could possibly make it so that some of these brothers do get hired. But
yeah.
if they weren't hiring guys with 32, they're not going to just, you know, have a come to Jesus moment when they go to if and when they go to 40. I think they've expanded it as much as they can. It's just
mm-hmm.
they just know that they're like Atlanta. We, you know, please leave. We're full.
Yep.
Well,
okay.
I also with the American ASC would get geographically correct. What I mean is this: Miami Dolphins need to be in the Southern Division. The Baltimore Ravens need to be in the Northern Division. The Indianapolis Colts need to be in that other North Division. There is no reason for those three teams to be in the division that they're in. Why the hell is Miami?
Well, it's money. It's a money thing, guys. It's a money thing.
That's right.
Well,
you
know, but the AFC, for the most part, is geographically correct.
Have the merger if not for, because the only way Pittsburgh or Cleveland was going to go to the AFC was if they were still playing each other.
Yeah,
that was because two of the originals had to go to the AFC, and that's where the imbalance is going to be. So unless, look, if you can find a way to get Pittsburgh and Cleveland are not going to split up, because that was part of the merger.
The Bengals, Browns, and Pittsburgh, as okay. You add Indianapolis to that division. It's all within the region.
But who do you replace? Who do you
replace?
Okay, well then, who do you replace Indianapolis with?
Exactly.
But
you're saying you're going to put Indianapolis. Who do you replace Indianapolis with in that other division?
I get
what you're saying, but see.
Well, Miami would be the replacement.
No.
Okay, and how do you replace Miami in the East?
Baltimore would be the replacement.
Baltimore in the East? I mean, I guess you could, but see, again, they've got it as uniform now as it's, look, It's never going to be it's never going to be Christopher Columbus correct.
I know. But I look at the division. I go, why is Indianapolis in the South?
Dallas is nowhere in the East, Gary. And we're back to square one.
Neither is Arizona.
Dallas is in the NFC East. Dallas is not an Eastern team.
Right, but it's the only team in the NFC that has a problem.
Yeah, but see, if you're going to make these changes, you can't just make one, you know, you have 32 teams. You can't just make one change and then everything be geographically
but
correct.
The AFC can easily do this.
No, they did not.
They're not going to.
Gary, I respectfully disagree. They cannot make it easy because just like with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, they have developed a rivalry over decades.
No, they can't.
They've done this with the blessing of the owners. The owners know when they meet, they're going to fill the stands. And they don't want to change from that. They don't want to change from that with the idea that somebody might be in a different division. If they are, that means not as many games. There's not a guarantee that they'll match up those two times each season or to do whatever. Ultimately, what they want is what they got. The owners dictate.
Miami is 1,000 miles away from Buffalo.
I agree.
1,000 miles away from New England.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 miles away from the New York Jets. What
the hell are they in? They're in the East because they're old AFL division. When the AFL set up Jets, Dolphins, Colts, Patriots, that's what they set up. Well, hold on. That's what they had to work with. Now,
right.
Even after the merger of all this, they haven't changed. They like going down, especially the fact that you had three cold-weather cities in New York, New England, and Indianapolis, they have a chance to go down for one sunny game or one warm game in comparison.
Yeah. In Miami.
They haven't changed that. Now, no matter what they do, the owners are not going to sit down and say, all right, just for geography's sake, let's have Miami, Houston, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. Let's put that and make that the AFC South.
Yes.
That would be correct. That would be correct in terms of location, right? But
yes. In
terms of excitement as far as playing each other and who can do what to whom, a lot of that's gone. A lot of that juice is gone. They would have to develop all over again. And you already got one team that doesn't even want to be in the U.S. coastline. They wouldn't be in
I think it's so unfair for Baltimore to be in that division with Pittsburgh, Cleveland,
Cincinnati.
The crazy thing is, you know, you have to blame Art Modell for that because they are the original Cleveland. You know, so unless you want to be now, unless you're going to get them to move back to Cleveland, it's a moot point.
Besides, Baltimore is glad to be back in the league. They spent all those years of not being included, no money, no ancillary revenue from hotels, restaurants. They did an actuary. You already know. They paid a huge price to not be in the mix. They're not going to change from that now.
If they're not willing to hire qualified black folks, they're damn sure not going to geography,
I just want to bring it up because I've been thinking about it for a while about Indianapolis being in the South and Baltimore being in the North, and Miami being in the East, and they go,
no. It's the equivalent of Christopher Columbus coming to an already inhabited land and discovering. I get it. That's the hypocrisy. That's the hypocrisy of it. But again, a lot of a lot of sports, I mean, especially the NFL, are made through rivalries. And again, we would not have the merger because of the original Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, because of the way that the AFL and the NFL broke down, two of the teams had to leave. NFL teams had to go to the AFC. Remember, actually, three teams: the Colts. The Colts in the AFC.
That's right.
And they were
the West. No, I've never been in the West. They were always when they were in the NFL, they were in the East in the NFL, and then
they were in the West.
I don't remember them being considered West at all.
They were in the Western Division.
Oh, okay. They were in the Western Division early on. But, again, once the map changed with the Southern teams, they restructured. Washington and Atlanta, they had to restructure. But the fact that the NFL doesn't really give a rat's ass about geography doesn't change the fact that they don't. Not with the Arizona Cardinals and the NFC East for as long as they were. Look, I want to go back to the original premise. Now, they've had Flores on TV. I didn't get to hear it, but I will be after this. Excuse my hiccups. And now, all I'm wondering is, will he get a vote? Because remember, there was a lot of people who thought that Brian Flores could be coach of the year because of the work he did. Now, if we were looking at the ethics of this, think about this. Flores is told, I'm going to get $100,000 each game we lose.
Yep.
He went from 1-7 to 7-7. So he turned down $600,000 because of the team play. Now, nobody's looking at it that way, but wouldn't you look at it that way? Would you look at this as somebody taking a $600,000 hit because he wanted his guys to play?
Yeah, absolutely. What this whole thing it speaks of, and again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it needs to be, to me, especially with the NFL, it needs to be reinforced.
Yep.
There is no incentive to win. They were willing. I mean, look, the year that the Lions went 0-16, they made money. This guy was willing to pay him more of his salary to lose.
Yes.
What does that tell you? And, there's no doubt in my mind that Cleveland did the same thing with Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson,
because no one else wanted that job.
I think Flores is not gonna get a job anywhere.
I would be very surprised if he got. I think he's gonna get the Kaepernick treatment. I think he's gonna get the Kaepernick treatment. And what have you. But no, I think it's gonna be doubly think. That's when I think he's not gonna get a job, and I think out of spite, they're not going to hire any black coaches.
That's right.
That leads me
to my next question. What is the black caucus are they going to become?
There's a better chance of getting a quote from Marcel Marco Mark and whatever. There's a better chance of a Demore Smith sighting eating a hamburger sharing it with Tupac.
Tony, it's like the Aliens movie when the brother Frost, he says, when they were told that they couldn't use weapons, he said, well, what are we going to use, harsh language? That's exactly what this is at. What are you going to say? Oh, the owners are being mean to us. Okay, fine, don't work for them. We won't give you a job. Never mind. I was taking that context. Yeah. They're taking everybody out of context. If Flores get to vote, they'll be side bets, though, and people will win money. And I admit to being among them because I bet $100 that he gets at least one vote. At 10-1, I'll make $1,000. I'll take that bet.
Yeah.
Now, they go ahead, dare me. Dare me to not vote this guy as potential coach of the year. Some will do it out of guilt. Some will say, well, that doesn't happen in our organization. But the bottom line is Flores made his point. And now because he's making his point, he's going to be a pariah. They'll make him a pariah, and he will be the Colin Kaepernick of coaches because he won't get that kind of break again unless I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I'd be very, I would love to see the players, show some solidarity toward him, but I don't see that happening either. Unfortunately,
yep.
I try not to be too overly, pessimistic, but it's the sad thing is that they're willing to the NFL literally is willing to cut off its nose to spite its face, and I think they're willing to go as far because they realize in their eyes they're the golden goose and they can get away with it. It's just at some point this bad karma will come back on them. It's enough for any of us, of course, but it's going to come back on them at some point.
I believe that. Yes.
I feel bad for this brother because he did the best that he could in Miami, and this is a reward he gets. I don't appreciate that at all.
Well, of course, it's and they're gonna have their let's put it this way. If there's any justice, they go 0-16, I guess.
Well, gentlemen, as you know, I'm not one to instigate.
No!
Wait for it. But if we know, and we know from Hugh Jackson, that they were paid $100,000 to lose a game every week he coached. Think about the gambling consortiums and syndicates that knew about this and took a whole heap of money with people not knowing what the hell was going on. Now, I'm not just talking about Hugh Jackson's money. I'm talking about the Brian Flores money. We already know there's a base of 100,000 there. But if you think about all the teams, all the places that folks can bet, all the amount of money that can be mustered, we are talking. We are way beyond goo gobs here.
Goo is the guy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And this is in-house money. Nobody knows about this. This is like having inside information in a horse race. You know which one's going to show up. You know which one's going to do what. And if the horse runs out the money, who cares? I think this is very, very real because back in the day, and this may show my horse racing greed or whatever, but there was a guy who he used to call the Mad Bomber, no relation to Daryl LaMonica. He would bet claiming races. Now, for those that don't know, claiming races are the cheapest races in all of racing. The horses aren't very good or they're very young. Long story short, he would change the betting by coming in and betting $10,000 on a horse. Didn't matter a horse, just a horse. It would change the odds significantly. So if this horse didn't win, or if it did win, it would only pay a dime more than it would on a $2 bet. However, if the horse ran out of the money, the payouts and the other pools would be humongous. There'd be like $80 and $50 pools or pools for horses running second and third, and that's where the money was being made. He was sacrificing $10,000 so that the other guys could go in and snag the big prizes in the other pools because the favorite was dead. This is what's going on here. That's why I called it Lost Leader, because we've seen this kind of money happen in the corporate world with record companies. It's the same mentality. Pump and dump, if you want to call it that too, but it's all the same thing.
Yeah, sure. It all rides together. And see, the only good possibly come out of this, although it's a bit of a stretch, it may expose, you know, we talked about how there was going that we feel like now that since gambling is basically going to be front and center for all of these sports now,
yep,
that
mm-hmm.
this is just going to fuel a scandal, per se.
Yeah.
I need it coming.
Well, it's the hardest thing is going to be to prove it. Because, see,
yes,
again, because here's the thing. Because they're basically in bed with them now, they can basically look at them as partners and just sort of, you know, pay them off, you know, in a, on the side, and basically the books don't get, you know, they, you know how back when the people forget the 1981 strike ended when the Players Association went to arbitrator and they said, show us your books. And then the strike was basically, and then the basic strike was surprisingly the strike was over the next day, because they did not want to show, because most of those teams, you know, I'm sure all professional teams, they have books and then they have the other books. I'm not talking about the Jungle Book with Ricky Tikki. This is, you know, it's their other way of doing things. Now, to me, if I'm Flores, I mean that has to be part. That's not, you know, look, I'm no lawyer. I don't play well on TV or on the internet. But somehow or another, this has to fall under, you know, just a bad workplace and just mismanagement. To me, that's just on a fundamental basis.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now, these same folks that are shelling out X amount of money for a Sunday ticket and X amount of money for jerseys and what have you, they're being taken just as much. But see, the crazy thing is they're willing to be taken. And you know what? If they're willing to be taken, then please don't stay away. Because see, the sad thing is with a lot of fans, they're taking this as just, oh, well, if it did happen, so what? You know, I just want my football.
Exactly.
Now, when you're on that other end, you know, you know, then what's going to be? Then what do you say?
Yep.
This is bigger than
a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
They can't clean this up. They're going to have to. They'll either have to sacrifice somebody, or they'll throw a couple of token hires their way. But they just can't walk away from this unscathed.
We're gonna find out, man. What you got cooking for? What you got cooking for tomorrow night, man?
Well, we are continuing our mission of funk from A to Z, and every time we keep thinking we can get past B or C, the funk keeps coming back to bite us in the ass. So we got to keep going. So the funk shall carry on. 9 o'clock Eastern.
You're gonna be fucking awesome.
That's right. It's gonna be a whole lot. But then when we stop funking, we start begging. Because the beggar's banquet will start again. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. So, baby, please, drop them drawers, all that good stuff. That's later. But right now, it's all about the funk. See y'all.
All right. Cook
that thing. Stay safe.
All right, Tony, what you got cooking?
First of all, congratulations to Columbia for winning the Dominican series, and if you didn't get it, I got a chance to watch a bunch of the games, not all of them, but good baseball. And hey, I'm prepared to watch a bunch of college baseball if and when college starts. It should be starting soon because a lot of the preseason, I know on the black college level. On NAIA and lower division ones, lower division twos have already slowly started. So, if there's one good thing that could possibly come out of this possible, lockout or whatever the hell you want to call it, people, I would hope that maybe some of these networks that do Major League Baseball pick up some college games. Now, apparently they're going to be playing the minor league games, but I don't see that because, I know, I'll believe it when I see it, but again, us hardcores, I'll watch college ball. I have no problem watching college baseball. I watch it anyway, so if they're not, you do get the feeling that they'll settle it somehow, but it's just that, let's put it this way, at this point in time right now, I don't think we're going to get 162 games this year.
I will be watching the KBO, that's what I'll be watching. I get early in the morning to watch the KBO.
Folks was watching it during the pandemic. And again, baseball's baseball.
I love the KBO. I really do.
Since it's on the mouse, I keep the sound down so I can watch it. Watch it with some people. As much as they want to think, the world's not going to come to an end if there's no baseball this year. There's plenty of baseball out there to watch. So I'm at the point now. Just wake me up when there's an agreement. That's pretty much where I'm at.
I just hope these guys get to play the season. Because I can see
them
being nasty and not
playing
season at all.
Well, it can wind up being worse than 94 because the generation of fans that you lost before, you're going to lose even more. In this case, so I double dog dare you. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, do it. Go ahead. A lot of people
strayed
away from baseball
after
that first strike.
All you got to do is look at last year's World Series ratings. A lot of people are, staying away. But all the more reason why I guess you got to go on strike, right?
Yep.
In the words of one of our favorite cartoon characters. Dumbass.
Well, break in there. I'm going to take a little break here and go with the buzz again with the song, Can You Remember? Can You Remember? The Dolphins.
Take care, guys.
Answer.
Take care.
Yeah. NASCAR, the first race will be in Los Angeles for the Busch Light Classic in L.A. Memorial Coliseum next month. Now, you Formula One freaks. Now there's a blue fight in Formula One. Before the season even starts, both times that he left Mercedes-Benz